accept it. But God tell you, God's got something good in our lives. And Jesus said he's going to use the young and the old. Young and the old. The old stayed ready for someone else. There's oil here today. There's oil at home tomorrow. And when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, it will automatically flow into your life. Saul was one of the greatest persecutors of the church. He probably killed more Christians and had them stoned than anybody alive. He was not looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for him. We're living in a time that people are not looking for Jesus, but I'm going to guarantee Jesus is looking for them. We're going to say things you thought was never possible. How many know this? I wasn't really seeking God, but I was in church, sitting on the back pew, holding Peggy's hand. I don't think we've been married very long, but I wasn't interested in God. But something happened. I tell you, I got up from that pew, and I went down to that altar. I didn't go down seeking no Holy Ghost. I didn't know there was no Holy Ghost, but I knew I was lost and undone without God. I want you to know a God is not a God to be feared. He's a God to love. He loves everybody. Saul was saved because God loved Saul, and Saul was forgiven and became one of the greatest apostles of all time. He said, I come back behind, and the chief apostle, Peter, James, and John. I do not come behind them, but I want you to know whoever you are today and whoever your friends is, they may not be looking for God, but God's looking for them. He wants them in his kingdom. So the child of sinner, the oil flaming in Saul's hole, the oil stayed, the oil was ready when Saul was there. And when he fell on the face and repented, stayed means to remain, continue there and wait. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is to remain. It is to continue there. It is to stay there. St. John 15:7 is amazing scripture. If you abide in me, and I will abide in you, which means his word, you can ask anything on this earth, and I will do it for you. I'm saying that's a wonderful dynamic scripture. But it's abiding, it's continuing it, and staying in him with him, stay with him. When things don't feel right, you have to stay with the Lord and the good things of God. Peggy and I were talking the other day. We evangelized. We was working. And we'd go out at night, and churches invite us to come. I don't know why they invited us. I never knew that, why. But she and Gina would get up and sing. And Gina was 3 or 4 years old singing. She's not singing today, but she's got 2 daughters singing. God wants your seed to come after you. He wants your grandchildren to come after you. He wants all of your family members in the house of God and the blessings of God. He's no respecter person. He's a God that cares about every aspect of our life. We're reaping a harvest that like we've never seen before, like our nurseries are running over. You're going to see some other things running over because God wants a revival. The number one thing the church must return back to and remember, the only reason we're here is to seek and to save the lost. We've got no other reason to being here, to seek and to save that which is lost. And these other things are added things, but that's what Jesus came to do. The oil stayed because he knew one day somebody was going to be needing some oil. Aboard this ship I was on, it had an oil tank. Best I can remember, it was 400 gallons. And it had a purifier that run every time that ship was underway. It had 32 stainless discs inside of it. Some of you don't know what a purifier is. We didn't have one when I was a kid. We had a churn. You know, you get the milk, you get the butter, it come to the top. But some had a purifier. This purifier had 32 discs inside of it. And what it done, it separated the water from the oil. I want you to know when you got Christ in your life, he's going to separate you from sin. His blood's going to keep you cleaned and pure and washed throughout all your life. That's what it's there, the blood of Jesus. It was mentioned this morning, I think some of us knew it, when Jim Baker was convicted and sent to prison. Billy Graham was the only one that went and visited him. And he asked him, "What went wrong, Jim? Did you lose the love of God?" He said, "No, I never did." He said, "I always loved God." He said, "I lost the fear of God." Now, that don't mean you're supposed to be afraid of God. It means you're supposed to reverence God. When the church loses its references of God and favoring God, that's when we're going to lose out with God. You may still love him, but when you have lost the fear of God and the loss of reverence of him, when I got first in the church, I thought God was always out to get me, the way they preach. But I found out that he's always out to get you all right, in loving and caring and blessing your life. He's quick to forgive. He's quick to forgive. Peggy told me not too long ago, she said, "The reason I really fell in love with you, you was always quick to forgive and forget." I thought, well, how could that? When she told me this the other day, I said, how could that be? I didn't even have the Holy Ghost. You had to forgive and forget. Well, I forgave, but I can't forget it. You hadn't forgiven. You need to read the national best-selling book, Total Forgiveness. Total Forgiveness. Heard last night about an eagle when their mate dies and what all they do. But you know, when a dove mate dies, they never remarry. And they're not a pigeon. A pigeon fights for territory. A dove won't. It'll fly off and wait. We must have the spirit of the love of God in our lives. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Shelby preached. The father had two sons in the book of Luke. I want you to notice the son said, "Give me." I want you to give me. By the law, the father had to give what he wanted. I want you to get this. Give me my inheritance. And the father said, okay. He gave it to him. But he went off and squandered it all and lost it all. Found himself in the pig pen. I want you to know you don't want to never be in a pig pen. I was raised on the farm where pigs was. Oh, my goodness. Dean Turner and I was in the pig business. And one time we had many 60 head at one time. Oh, my goodness. But he came to himself. I want you to know the Lord is going to bring people in. He's going to come to themselves. Going to come to themselves. And he was standing afar off. The father was looking that way because he expected him to come home. And when he saw him afar off, he ran toward him. Back then, men wore skirts like women do. It was a disgrace for a man to pull up his skirt and show his legs. Disrespectful. But he, according to the writers, he pulled up his skirt real high where he could run. He wanted to bring the shame because of that boy come home, what they was going to do, like he was a leper, like he wasn't welcome no more. But God, the Father, wanted to bring that shame to himself. He wanted them to look on his shame and not on the son's shame. I want you to know when Jesus went to the cross, he took our sins, he took our sickness, he bared our shame, where that we wouldn't have to look at it and where the world wouldn't have to look at it. That's what Jesus did when he went. If the church ever gets a hold of this, when Jesus carried your shame, your sorrow, your grief, and all of your sins to the grave with him, and when he come out of the grave, there they stayed. Your sin's been washed white as snow. And that's what the Father did. And the next thing the Father did, he put shoes on his feet. He put a ring on his hand. He put clothes on him. He wanted to know the world to know, this is my son. I want you to know when you come to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can't stop the devil from accusing you. You can't stop people from talking about you. I've had people help me to pray. The devil to leave me alone. And I said, I can't do that, because he's not going to leave you alone. Because he leaves you alone, you're above Jesus. But this is what he did. He gave you power to resist the conversations the devil is saying unto you, and you don't have to receive it. You can say, take up the shield and the blood of Jesus, said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You leave me alone, and he's going to flee from you. But you better get ready. He's going to come back. How many know we need to be a Nehemiah? Sword in one hand and a trowel in the other one. Never use the sword. You can't fight the natural and live in the spiritual. It's the same time. You want to make up your mind what you're going to do. And then they said, well, just come down and talk to us. He said, I can't come down and talk to you. He said, I'm too busy in the Lord's business. When the devil starts talking to you, don't talk to him back. When Charles Capps was trying to, he was a Christian, trying to really learn, live for God in his little book, he said the Lord told him one day, he said, Charles, I wish you'd quit telling me what the devil's doing. I want you to say what I'm doing. I want you to know God is for us and not against us. Even when you fail, he's not against you. He's for you. He wants to cleanse you. He took all the shame. And then when this son got close enough to him, I want you to notice something else now. When he left, he said, what? Give me. But now he says something different. Now he says, make me a servant. The father didn't listen to him this time. He listened to him the other time and gave him what he wanted, but he didn't listen this time because he knew he had a change of heart. He made him a son again. One of the saddest stories there to me is the son that stayed at home. He had all the benefits of God, but he didn't know it. Church, we got a lot of benefits that we're not receiving from God, the blessings of God. Jesus demonstrated what he came for. He got on the boat. He told Peter, says, launch out into the deep. Peter said, it's not no use. You're a carpenter's son. He didn't say that, but he was. You don't know nothing about fishing. You know how to make a chair and a table, but you don't know anything about fishing. Now, if I wanted to go fishing, somebody asked me to ask Lynn Williams one time and take this man to fishing. And I said, okay. I went to Lynn and I said, would you take this man to fishing? If you tell me, I'll take him. But if you're asking me, no. I ain't taking him fishing. But if you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. I said, I ain't going to tell you. He said, well, I'll tell you why. I said, I took him fishing before. I go to fish. I go to fish. You getting it? He said, even if I don't catch anything, I'm there to fish. When we go with him, a little while, we wasn't catching. He wanted to come back. I'm not going with him. But if you tell me, I'll do. I ain't going to tell you. God wants you to fish. And Peter said, we done fished all night. We hadn't caught anything. But listen, when Jesus gets on the boat with you and he starts commanding you and telling you what to do, I guarantee there's going to be a multitude of harvests. There's going to be a harvest you cannot imagine. And some said, well, we're not ready for that kind of harvest. The harvest was so big, there's boats standing by, and before the net broke, they came and helped. Such a mighty. What Jesus is showing, what he wants to see happen. How many know we need to expand our vision and make it bigger than it's ever been before? And when they let down the net, they caught a great harvest, a great and mighty harvest. Brother Kunihara was a Japanese. He come to America and graduated from Texas A&M, married a lady from Georgia, and God called him to Brazil. And they worked there until she passed away. Before she passed away, he said, I want you to take me back to Georgia. I want to be buried in my home country. He said, okay. And then he said, he's way up on his 80s. He said, I'm not going to retire. I'm going to refire. I'm going back to Brazil and live out my life. Go back to Isaiah. I'm going to refine the age oil. If your oil is a little low, a little dirty, I want you to know God wants to refine it. He wants to bring you back to where you was in the very beginning, and even greater, for that fire to burn in our lives. He wants us to learn these things and live for God. Isaiah 54:16 said, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire. How many are glad that Jesus is still blowing on your coals? He's the one that's still keeping you alive. Now, I know Paul told Timothy to fan the fire that's in you, but you got a God that says, I've created a smith that blows the coals of fire. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that's keeping me alive, keeping me alive. How many are glad he's kept you alive all these years? Caleb said, God has kept me alive for this hour, for this moment, for this time. And then he said, I want to fight some giants. I want to fight some giants. And Acts 10, Peter went down to Cornelius' house, and he shared Christ. Let me share this with you. In Acts 2 and the 10, the first message was ever preached was the Word and the Spirit. Paul said the letter, kid, if you can give a good speech on the Word of God and it be a failure, here's why. If the Spirit is not there, you got to have those two together, the Word and the Spirit. You give the Word, and the Spirit does the conviction. He does the drawing. He's the one that does the filling. 3,000 got the Holy Ghost right then and there. Were they prepared for that, Sister Diane? I believe they were. The next few days, they 5,000. That's what God was adding to the church. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change. He's always going to be the same. Always. Then we have Philip. He was not one of the 12. And it probably infuriated them about Philip when they picked him, because he was a Greek. And the Greeks, the Jews had nothing to do with the Greeks. But I want you to know God does not know or does not recognize your nationality. We all bleed blood red. We all have one spirit and one body in Christ. So Philip goes down and he preached Christ to them. The whole city was baptized. The whole city had evil spirits cast out. And the whole city got the Holy Ghost by laying on of hands. I want you to know God is in the saving business. That's what he demonstrated. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. We should never lose our vision of trying to seek and to save that which is lost. If we're not careful, our vision gets on other things instead of the kingdom of God. Peter goes down in Acts 10, Cornelius' house. He had had a vision from an angel come and talk to him. I do not believe you have to seek the Holy Ghost, and I don't believe you have to seek God. I'm just opening it up to you. I believe when the Word comes, it'll fall on you. Maybe sometime you may have to. But what happened when Peter gave him the Word and the Spirit? What happened? Somebody want to shout it out. They're just sitting still. We got to the place sometime we think you got to get in a certain position. You do. You got to get your heart ready for God. And Peter opened his mouth, began to speak the Word, and the Spirit was there. The Holy Ghost fell on every one of them. If you're here today, it's God's plan for your whole house. May not come to church here, but if all of your whole house be saved in the kingdom of God. That's his wish. That's his desire. It's not a desire for anyone to be lost, for everybody to be in his kingdom. Everyone in that household was saved and delivered because Christ had a vision for them. Church has a miraculous future for it, a big future for it. What happened to the Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas? That's an amazing story. Shackles and chains, back bleeding, and they were singing and praising God. Their mind wasn't on their sorrow. Their mind wasn't on their condition. They were singing and praising God as they did. What happened? The Holy Ghost shows up. Jail doors swung open. Shackles fell off of Paul and Silas. And the whole family of the Philippian jailers was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For years, I never was much of a person that believed in unspoken request. I thought you had to speak it out. I don't remember. You remember the man's name? Huh? I can't hear her. But anyhow, he went to Nashville and made it big in the music world. They came to the other church down there one time. Made it big, lost everything, lost his family, lost everything. His mother and father would always make a verbal request, pray for my son. Until they got to the point over the years, they got ashamed of doing it. They'd raise their hands, said, I got an unspoken request. One Wednesday night, they didn't know it, the boy had come home and sat on the back seat. And that night, on a Wednesday night service, the Holy Ghost fell on him because he was hungry. He was thirsty. He'd come home because the mother and father never gave up. They kept repeating their request. Jesus' purpose is to seek and to save that which is lost. He wants everybody in the family of God. He wants his house full and running over. Then we find in Acts 19, disciples of John all received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Did you know that the people on Malta, island of Malta, would not have been saved without a shipwreck? And the ship went down, but everybody was saved. If it had not been for that shipwreck, that island would never have been probably saved. Listen, a tragedy can happen in your life could be the means of winning somebody to God and bringing a blessing to God. He healed that whole island, Apostle Paul did, because God was there with him. Looked like he was destined for death, to die on the ship, but he didn't. But when the snake bit him, some think he shook it off so he wouldn't be poisoned. When a snake bites you and he throws them fangs in you, he automatically done dumped that poison in you. And Jesus said, with you full of the Spirit of God, these things are not going to hurt you. But there, that whole island was healed because God had a divine plan to seek and to save that which is lost. He'll go to every limit to seek and to save that which is lost. That's found in Acts 16. I want to thank you for being here tonight, or this morning. And Jesus said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The oil stayed. The oil is still alive today. It's still flowing today. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my kingdom. Oil is stayed. The oil is running. Colossians 2:19 said, increase with the increase of God. I don't know how God can increase, but it says you increase with the increase of God. Then it says 1 Thessalonians 3:12, it said the Lord, meaning Jesus Christ, make you increase and abound in love, but you have no limits. You abound in love. Then we find in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 10, brothers, that you increase more and more. Stretch out your tent stakes. Enlarge your vision. Enlarge your expectation. Job said, if you'll decree it, it'll come to pass. Same way David said, if you'll decree it, it will come to pass. You can read some amazing stories where people started decreeing and believing God. Stretch out your vision. God bless you for being here today. Look for great things to happen. Expect great things to happen. If you expect bad things are going to happen. If you think bad, imitate God. Genesis 5 and 1. And Jesus says, I know my thoughts, and I know what my thoughts is towards you. He don't have nothing but good thoughts towards you. And that's what our thoughts be, good thoughts. If they're going to come and sing, I believe the presence of the Lord has moved, and I believe the Lord has met your needs this morning. But maybe it's someone else you'd like prayer. The church will prevail in abundance until Jesus comes. The church has a very bright future, according to the Scripture of God. Don't look at the things of the world and how bad it is. Look how great your God is. And look what he's capable and able and willing to do. He's going to bring all people in. He's going to draw all men into himself. If I be lifted up, I know he's been lifted up on the cross, but we must lift him up daily. Give him praise, give him honor, and give him thanksgiving. We're going to try to get a picture of this basket where you can take home with you and put it up somewhere. It's important to keep your vision in front of you. There's power in focus. Don't lose your focus. You got to keep that. Brother Shelby mentioned last Sunday, it might have been Sunday or Sunday night, a telescope, when you first look through it, it may not be right, but you keep fooling with it, you get it focused. Get the picture before you. As you go by it every day, thank God that your prayers have heard. Thank God he's answered your prayers.